were talking about the assassins.
Okay.
I just, the word assassin comes from a group called, guess what? Hashashins.
Are you kidding? Like Hashashins from Shashin?
Yeah, the Hashashin is the original.
Is the original assassin?
Yes. Thank you.
Wow, they're still angry about it. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Star Franken Show.
Okay, so we're doing a Franken Show. Who knows what's going to happen?
We don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know what's
going to
happen.
But there's a couple of things going on this week that we had to address. And there's a couple of things that were burning in our souls that we had to express as well.
So I'm going to go ahead. Do you want to kick off? What do you have?
I've got, okay. Well, we first, you know, have to address the elephant in the room, which is St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about St. Patrick's Day every year, and at this point, I don't know what else to say.
Well, I usually like to talk about the leprechaun.
Yes.
Leprechaun.
Is it happening still, or did they ban it?
They had the leprechaun.
Okay.
They usually do it a couple of weeks before St. Patrick's Day in Hoboken.
Okay.
But it is a nightmare because the town turns into the cast of Gremlins.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
It's everybody is intoxicated and the police are out.
And keep in mind, Hoboken, I mean, I like Hoboken. Whenever I come there to visit you or like whatever, I walk around, it's nice. On St. Patrick's Day, I'm scared. It's like the Purge up in there.
Yeah, it is like the Purge. And you either have to leave town, participate.
You cannot be on the streets.
Or you stay, you lock yourself in. I was locked in.
You locked yourself
in,
you barricaded.
I did not
a shamrock on the door to ward them off. Don't even.
Yeah.
There's beer outside.
Beer outside.
Go get
it. No, they climb, I mean, they'll climb sides of buildings and they'll hang off and
if people can get into your apartment, they will puke on your stairs.
Yeah.
Like in your stairwell. Like it's bad because people are so inebriated and I don't think it's not mean spirited.
No.
But we in our culture, we're so uptight that on this, you know, any chance for open revelry, people go nuts.
Yeah.
They really go insane. And Hoboken is no exception. Also, Hoboken has a lot of young people.
Yeah. And they come in, all the young people come in from surrounding towns.
Which is odd. They don't even make it to the city anymore. They're like, Hoboken.
Yeah, that's
because
the bars
Hoboken.
Are all, there's so many bars and they're so in walking distance. So it makes it ideal to walk around and go from bar to bar.
Although, to be quite honest, in Hoboken, I don't think I could do even 4 blocks of a pub crawl before I would be out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are really a lot of bars. And a lot of cool bars, too.
Mm-hmm. There was, for this year, things were a little bit different. We have a new mayor, which is still from the same team as the old mayor, who I liked, and I still like. But they cracked down on 5 bars previous to the event, prior to the event, rather.
How?
There's too many fights in one bar, so they're shutting it down.
I didn't know there was fighting in Hoboken.
Yeah.
Why?
One bar used to...
People, Hoboken is well-heeled.
One of the employees was beating a customer.
Huh?
And so, and there was a lot of violence.
I said, we don't have any more Bushmills, mofo. Look.
But it's just, some places really hold negativity.
Yeah.
And some places are really bad. And so this bar is shut down completely, and 4 other bars got warnings. They've got they were...
For fighting?
For all, over-serving.
Ooh, I don't even know what that is.
It's like when someone is falling off the bar stool and still wants to drink, and you still keep letting them drink and take their money.
At that point, you got to take people's keys, where they're friends.
Yeah. So that's over-serving, and then the serving minors is another thing. So 4 other bars were shut down for St. Patrick's Day. They weren't allowed to participate in the
parole. Oh, no.
They said, there, you were going to be...
I wonder how the staff feel. I wonder if there are a few staff who are like, you know what, good. Now I can go out, get my fight on somewhere else. I'm going to O'Leary's. Screw O'Grady's. I don't like working here anyway. I haven't seen a bar fight in a long time. Have you ever seen a bar fight?
Yes.
It's exciting.
It's like, oh my God.
I know. It's sad to say it. I'm not a person who's into violence, but you know, you see it on TV. And then one time when I was in London, I actually saw it. And my friends were like, get out of here. I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
I got to take up a position. Will someone start playing the piano? And they open the top of it so I can jump in. Like, what's going to happen? Fighting, though. Come on, people. Hoboken is not, like, the crowd in Hoboken is not a salty crowd.
Yeah, well, they get generally crazy.
Yeah. It's a lot of guys who work downtown, like, in the city and in Midtown. You know what I mean? It's not, you know.
I especially didn't want to go out because there's a lot of bros. And what do bros like more than a high five?
Ugh. And then now you got to touch a nasty bro hand.
They all want a high five.
It's all gummy with, like, cum and fucking Bushmills. Whatever they've been touching. Like, they haven't washed their hands in a coon's age. Are you kidding me? I'm not touching a bro hand.
They all want a
fist high bump. Five. I'll fist bump you if you let me get by on the street.
But there's five of them, and they get like everyone has to high five.
And Katie's blonde too, people. It's a little bit easier for me because I'm small and black, but I still have to fist bump people on St. Patrick's Day.
But I hurt my back, I was like, I can't do high fives. So I can't go outside.
Please don't make me.
Yeah, I can't explain to a drunk guy. I can't high five you because my back hurts.
Our local college, actually, they have a break during that time, and they kind of shut things down.
Yeah.
Because the students get so crazy about it.
Yeah, wow.
I wish there was a way. Look, so I have no problem with people getting drunk, getting crazy. We need to have, like, some kind of tri-state area beer garden where people can go and get drunk and have a lot of space and do their thing and just get it out of their system and start kicking in the air and punching in the air or whatever.
Then there's the bathroom situation. There's not enough bathrooms.
Gentlemen, we feel for you on this day. This is the one day where you get to experience what it's like to wait in the line for the bathroom and think you're going to pee yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
But they're peeing all over the place. They just go outside.
They need to open up. They need to have just a trough on the street in Hoboken for that.
Yeah.
A pissoir. An open pissoir.
Yeah, a pissoir.
Wow.
We should have the Hey You Know It pissoir.
Yeah, $1 for a piss.
Yeah.
Smile. Hashtag. Hikey pissoir.
Yeah,
you made
so,
it.
So, yeah, they're cracking down on that kind of thing. So, apparently, the arrests, the actual arrests were down from, like, 30 to 4. But the summonses were up. So, they're ticketing people a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, ticket?
Yeah.
Is that your pee? Should have used a trough.
Yeah, ticket.
It's only $1. Well, that's a good way to make money for the city, though. You should have used
pissoirs around.
How did you not see it? You know what I mean? There's no line for that. This is everybody go. Just don't cross streams. You know? Oh, good for Hoboken.
And again, and just something about St. Pat.
Okay.
St. Patrick. Everyone's like, oh, he drove the snakes out of Ireland. There were no snakes in Ireland to begin with.
Yeah. Well done. It's like the stuff that says it's kosher. It's like the apple was already kosher. You don't need to put that sticker on there. Or like gluten-free.
Yeah.
The pickle was already gluten-free. But thank you. It's also vegan as well.
And isn't it just like a guy taking credit for something?
Yeah.
Like this? I'm sorry. This is... I mean, I'm generalizing, but it's just like...
But I'm sure the other dudes were like... the other saints are like, I actually did something here.
Like, well, you know...
I healed people.
Do you see a snake?
Yeah.
Do you see a snake here?
No, but I see lepers. Good job. Good job.
Yeah, anyways, that's St. Patrick.
St. Patrick, be safe, everybody.
Yes.
I listen to WBGO a lot, and they have this thing called Rhythm Review. And it's like soul music from the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. They're having their Rhythm Review party this year in Lower Manhattan on St. Patrick's Day. I'm like, did you guys check that one out first?
Mm-mm.
Did you check that one out first?
Mm-mm.
I'm tempted to go to the Rhythm Review party and see if any bros actually get in there and be like, Wilson Pickett. In any case. So I'm moving on with the epic fails.
Epic fails.
This is an epic fail. All right, so epic fail. I love reality TV shows. I don't like to watch them. I like to read about them. And there's so many of them.
I don't watch
TV anymore. I have Netflix and Fandor or whatever. But if people recommend something to me, like if Katie or another friend of mine says something, I'll watch it. But generally, no. So this is a show that failed 2 years ago. I never even heard of it. It's called Utopia.
I've heard of it, but I didn't see
it. So it's a reality TV show. So it first started in the Netherlands, and it was a social experiment based on building a new society. So it's Utopia. They're doing it in the Netherlands. They have a very different sensibility about things. We prefer dystopia here. Like, that's our thing. So they brought this show to the U.S., and apparently it was horrendous. So the idea of the show was the series follows a cast of 15 men and women who are placed in isolation and 12 filmed 24 hours a day for a year.
Yeah.
That was the plan.
All right.
The cast was going to create their own society with 15 people.
I am the king.
Yes. At least three people would have been like, piss off. I'm doing ascetic. I'm going a hermit.
Yeah.
You know? So they had to figure out how to do their own society and survive. The series
to build anything.
The series was initially shown twice a week with online streaming 24/7. Now these are things they've tried this in the past. There's already too much stuff on. No one wants to watch this 24/7. They had 129 hidden cameras all over the utopia. This is already not utopia.
No.
Live streaming began on August 29th, the day they entered. 5,000 people auditioned for the series. Every month, three people were to be nominated for elimination and sent back to their everyday lives. And then new people get to come on. So every month, you lose three people and you get three new
people.
Kicked
out of paradise.
But for what reason?
Yeah.
Like, I haven't... So, in a society, there's no kicking anybody out. Like, if you know what I mean? Like, if you're trying to create a new society, you only have 15 people. You, the devil you know.
Yeah,
like,
right,
work
right,
with those
right.
people, right? So, although the premiere was met with optimism, like, after the first show, less than half the people came back to watch the second one. Right? So, it didn't really work at all. They dubbed the show Fox's Folly, said it was really farming, fighting, and fornicating, but mostly fighting.
Yeah.
Tuesday's episode saw a 43% ratings drop, right? That's since the first episode. There was people were upset because there was a failure to order ramen noodles. And then it upset the community.
Okay.
There was hints at fornication between two people in a barn loft, but that didn't really happen. Basically, they said you could have put 14 monkeys in a cage and 10 bananas and had a better show. It was supposed to be like an experiment about democracy, but they also didn't want to do the normal thing where they cast the guys a certain way and they cast the women a certain way, but it happens anyway. So the first two episodes, five of the eight men had violent outbursts.
All right.
I don't know why. Because shouldn't you be figuring out how to make the societies? We don't have time to fight each other, man.
Dominance.
Yeah. The female cast members were trying, they tried to not make them look catty and vicious, but keep in mind, these are the people who have auditioned for this. Everyone has seen how these shows work. If you're not catty and vicious as a woman, you're not going to be on the show.
Right.
So as a result, they didn't show their personalities, it says here, except they didn't swim naked.
They did swim naked.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a case of alcohol poisoning. This sounds like a society we live in already.
Yeah.
Threatening. There was some sexual behavior, but nothing happened. So I guess they threatened to have sex. There were two fights. It says failing miserably. So what I found interesting about this show is the guy that pitched it, they paid $50 million to develop the show. I think we could probably do this for $500,
$50 million. How much does it cost for like a little biodome and some cameras?
Exactly. So it says here, generally, when you pitch these ideas, so those of you who are considering pitching, we are not, an hour show should come in at $275,000 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Another network, though, might give you $500,000, and a broadcast network might give you $850,000 to $1.1, depending on when they're going to do it, per episode. One guy says, some ideas just aren't good anymore. So this is the kind of the genius that comes up with these things. Some guy, last name Murray, says, I came up with a show proposal called The Tragedy Tour. I wanted to take people, this is a quote, I wanted to take people who had some big loss in their life or some major illness. Then they were going to learn stand-up comedy to get over it.
No.
And that was going to be a part of the healing process. There is nothing, as someone who's been doing comedy on and off for 10 years, you don't feel good. It is torture. It is torture.
You mean, healing process is telling jokes about this.
But you know what it's like to get up on stage and do comedy.
Yeah.
Like, you can get destroyed every night of the week, as many times as you want to. He said the ancillary was that they would take it on a tour and be in the clubs. I thought it would be a good idea. Apparently, it was the weirdest pitch, according to the networks I pitched it to. Terrible.
It's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea.
It's
only a white dude could get this even close to in a room somewhere. That's not it. That's not even...
Because real comics, they're going to put up funny material, and sure, tragic things happen, and they'll get material out of that. Like Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
His wife died.
Yeah.
But he was doing comedy, and then he worked some of
that. He worked that into it.
Yeah, you don't just start with...
Yeah. It's not
the worst
all...
thing that happened.
It's not tragedy plus timing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's not how it goes. So, how bizarre is that? Like, why would you think this is a good idea? I am fascinated by the reality TV thing. I don't like seeing people exploited on television, though. It's not fun for me. Like, TV shows that I like to watch are really... Like, it's like, why, put them on in the background and doing something. They're not that exciting. It's like Bear Grylls. All right, he knows what he's doing. He's a professional.
Right.
There's also dual survival. It's like two guys trying to survive. Or like a show where they like decorate a house.
Yeah. show us how to do something from an expert.
Or like they, or the cooking shows where they, when they're nice to each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know, two professional chefs come on and try to beat Bobby Flay. But you know that's not going to happen because Bobby Flay.
Right.
But it's not like, it's not tragic. No one is humiliated. Like, I can't deal with it.
It's
like,
working together.
Yeah, they're trying to work together. This show, this epic fail, what I call it, the Utopia, I have no idea. It's almost as if they don't have a read on what people want to see. There are so many terrible shows out there. If anyone has saw Utopia, please let me know. I'm just curious to see how they, it's a biodome, right?
Yeah.
With 15 people in it.
It just like, you know, I took a course in like making films and talking about budgeting. And a lot of movies that you see out there, they don't cost what they say they do.
Of course.
All right.
Because it's the hype.
It's the hype around it. Either you inflate
200 million is a nice number.
Yeah, you inflate what it costs to make the movie or you severely undercut what it costs.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, Waterworld. They said that was, like, the biggest budget ever, and that was all hype around it.
Yeah, because we saw it. There was nothing. There was, like, some pieces of wood floating around in Kevin Costner's hairpiece.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. The hairpiece probably cost quite a lot.
Right, and some, you know, tech nerd. How much does that cost?
Yeah.
It doesn't cost that much money. They were not. That was all hype.
And the acting should have been cheap because it was terrible.
And then you get, like, one of these, like, indie films, like Ed Burns, who says, oh, I used $40,000 on my credit cards to pay for this. That's bullshit. It costs more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's other things that go into it besides that.
So it's not like you made this brilliant piece of, I use that in, in quotes, this beautiful, brilliant film for, you know, $40,000. Because it's like, oh my God, this is just pure magic. No,
no.
It costs more than that. And stop under.
Yeah. Stop underselling it. But I think for the, because I had a couple friends who worked in reality. I think for the reality though, these numbers are closer to what they actually are because they have to pay. What you don't see is all the crew.
Yeah.
So, like, if you work in reality TV and you're behind this, the scenes, it's a regular paycheck for you. You can go from show to show to show. They're always using people. They're always filming something. Yeah. And most of it ends up on the cutting room floor. Well, this entire show ended up on the cutting room floor. So it is a lot of work for people. But the amount of shows that are out there when I was searching about women trying to date, there's one where all the guys wear a mask. Okay,
well, don't they all wear
because
masks?
It's not supposed to be about what they look like, but you can tell these guys are smoking.
Yeah.
Like, there's Chris Hemsworth is under every single one of those masks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can tell. And they're wearing a mask. It's kind of like a cross between a gladiator and a knight. So even sexier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, keep the mask on.
Keep the mask on.
I don't care.
No one cares. So you have these women vying for the attention of the, you know, 16 dudes or whatever, 16 dudes vying for the attention of one woman. How are these shows? And they said it like, you know, up in space. It's Elon Musk, right? There's a reality TV show in the car that he shot up to Saturn or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It's, you know, it's like, we'll put it, there's one that's like Sexy Hotel or something. It's like, who cares? Who's watching this stuff?
Yeah, I guess people who are like out there and dating, trying to find a partner and they're like, I gotta.
Isn't dating itself depressing enough that you need to watch other people failing at it on TV? Wearing masks?
Well, I guess it makes some people feel better.
I want to go to a restaurant where every dude is wearing a gladiator slash night mask. And it's going to be our restaurant.
Yeah, you know it.
A friend of mine was saying, because all the, you know.
Called Faces.
You remember the Hooters restaurants? A lot of them has closed down. Apparently his son was like, I don't want to live in my father's shadow anymore, and opened up a chain called Twin Peaks.
Where
it's exactly like Hooters, but you've done something so much different there. You see what he did there. And then they dress like lumberjacks or something like that. So I was like, I want to open up a restaurant called Big Frank's.
Big Frank's?
Mm-hmm. They're going to serve kosher dogs. Vegetarian dogs.
Oh, it's all
everything,
dogs.
And it's going to be hot guys.
That's
who are acting straight,
right?
Hot guys. Yes, that's my idea. Whatever. Well, so different
like
from
it.
Hooters. All right,
I like it. Very
all right, what
good.
Do you have?
I want to be your silent partner on this. Okay. All right. Maybe I'll say a few things.
Okay.
Okay.
About the situation.
We can't let this week go by, Jaquetta, without...
it's gone.
Without talking about the Ides of March.
Oh, that's right.
That's
beware.
Beware. Beware the Ides of March.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, March 15th. Everyone beware. It's an unlucky day. No, it was unlucky for one person.
Yes. It was unlucky for one person. Don't be him.
Yeah.
Don't go to the forum.
Yeah.
Without listening to the soothsayer.
Right. If a soothsayer says, hey, Caesar, you're going to get stabbed at this thing.
Don't say, huh, what? Did you say stabbed?
What?
Girl, I ain't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Let me roll up on it here.
I'll go anyway.
Dear God. Gods, I should say.
Yes. So people are like, how do you celebrate the Ides of March?
I stab a friend.
Stab a friend.
In the back? Right.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. People do that all year anyway.
Yes, why wait till the Ides of March?
Well, one of the things they recommend is, first of all, know what the Ides of March is.
Okay, that's probably a good one.
The death of Caesar.
Yes. Okay.
And it also marks the first day on the Roman calendar as the first day of spring.
Okay.
All right, so all right. We got that.
That's a good thing.
The second, read William Shakespeare's classic Julius Caesar.
So I mean, you don't have to, but yeah, that helps.
Yeah.
That's the definitive text on the Ides.
Let's see. And then, why not look up, why not play the game Assassin?
Does it involve falling on someone with knives?
Assassination games, no.
Winking game.
Yeah, okay. There's card games, there's different, you know, different kinds of games, but they're called Assassin.
Okay.
You can learn how to play one of those because they, assassins killed Caesar.
Yeah. So see, this is what I'm saying about, we don't want a utopia, we want a dystopia. We're celebrating the Ides of March now. Yeah. The day when Caesar was killed.
And, yeah, right.
Like,
you could also have a toga party.
Nice. I love a toga party.
Yeah. And then you can make a Roman cake.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is that a euphemism? What's a Roman cake?
A Roman cake. It's like, it doesn't look great. It has like, it's just like flour and rosemary and maybe some raisins or something.
Okay. Is there egg involved? I hope
so. I'm sure there's an egg in there.
Is there any kind of leavening agent of some kind?
Yeah, but you make a Roman cake.
Okay.
Then they say have some wine or
yes.
Molson, which is another type of, what is it called?
Molson. I don't even know them. What is Molson? Sorry.
It's mead.
Oh,
honey wine.
Okay, honey wine. I like that. So we're going to have this flowerless or this flowerful cake. We're going to follow up on somebody, a friend. and then also we're going to have some mead or wine.
Yeah, and then but you can also have Roman food and not pasta, they say. Pasta was invented much later.
Okay.
But you can have olives, cheese, grapes, bread, asparagus, broccoli, and pears.
Asparagus, huh?
Yeah.
My old friend. I never met an asparagus I just didn't hate.
Yeah, and apparently you can have French toast because that was invented by the Romans.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are they only a Roman toast? They're still angry about it.
Right. While we're talking about the assassins.
Okay.
The word assassin comes from a group called, guess what? Hashashins.
Are you kidding? Like Hashashins from Shashin?
Yeah, the Hashashin is the original.
It's the original assassin?
Yes. Thank you.
Wow. They're still angry about it.
At first, they started in Persia, Syria, and Turkey, and they were a secret group. They're a mysterious figure in
mostly
the shadows.
Mostly because no one could say it.
And they were bent on murder for purely political reasons rather than love or money. So they would take down political or financial rivals before their organization fell in the mid-1200s.
What happened?
Well,
bad bookkeeping.
Come on, if you had to say Hashashin, yes. What do you do? So I'm a Hashashin.
I'm going to Hashashinate you. Did another group break out? Oh, no, we're assassins, not those other guys. Assassins.
Hashashin?
Not Hashashins. That's terrible.
It,
they probably would just started killing people because people were laughing at them, and then they were like, forget it. We've lost the respect of the people.
And nobody knows for certain where the word came from.
Oh, good.
The most commonly repeated theory holds that the word comes from the Arabic hashish, meaning hashish users.
Okay. Huh?
And they usually committed their murders while under the influence of drugs.
Just some hash? With even some slow-moving murderers. That's probably why they didn't make it.
Or they said that the Egyptian Arabic word hashashin means noisy people or troublemakers.
Okay. I think that sounds like a little better.
But the Hashashins.
The Hashashins. Wow. I'm glad we changed that to assassin.
Yeah.
It's just too difficult to say. And it's funny. You know, assassin is not that funny.
No, assassin is serious. But it's sexy even.
Hashashin. Hashashin is quite humorous to me.
Yes. Okay.
Oh my God, I can't believe you found that. That's awesome. Yeah. So I have a tale from Dirk Campfire.
Oh, tale from Dirk Campfire.
If I will. So tales from Dirk. I'm like, I'm still on the Hashashin thing. Tales from Dirk Campfire is my favorite segment wherein we find tales of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, ghost stories,
scary
supernatural. We tell them here around the digital campfire. So
gather around, listeners.
Gather around. This is from the ghoststories.com. This is something that always creeps me out. This is a particular feature of horror that really scares me when I see it.
Okay.
This is called A Smile You Don't Forget.
Oh, all right. Exactly right. All right.
I grew up in Southern California. When I was young, I lived in a house that was about 90 years old. I do know that my grandfather hung himself there, and the house had been exorcised about 20 years before I was born due to bizarre occurrences.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So when I was about 7 years old, there was a big lightning storm going on outside the house. Couldn't sleep that night. And then the classic gets up to get a glass of milk. People don't do that in a horror story. Stay in bed. You're thirsty? Fine. Deal with it.
Especially if it's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Forget it.
There's a lightning storm going on. You'll still be thirsty in the morning. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then you'll just have to pee later anyway.
Yeah.
And that's another opportunity. So anyway, he gets up. There was a flash of light. Everything lit up. And then during the flash, he sees something. About 5 feet away from me, there was a figure. Can't say for sure, but I think he was wearing a black cloak. I could only see his face. And all I can remember seeing are huge black eyes, or maybe they were just holes. What I remember the most, and this is the part that freaks me out, was his huge mouth. It looked like it had shark teeth, and the smile was way too large to be normal. I mean, if I could see more, I'm sure his mouth would have gone from ear to ear.
Ew.
I know. No. As soon as the kitchen went dark, I turned around and ran from my mom's room. Needless to say, I did not sleep that night.
Yeah.
And no milk was had, sounds like. 2 years after that, my mom brought my younger brother and I with her to meet the boyfriend's parents. Already bad. Mm-hmm. We got bored. We got bored and asked if we could ride some bikes we saw in the garage. We rode around and saw that we could ride around on some trails. My brother and I decided to race. I had the wind making noise in my ears, but finally I heard my brother scream out, "John, look out!" Not my real name, probably. I turned around and there was a truck not more than 2 feet behind my back tire, and I was already going as fast as I could. I looked to see where it was going, and I saw a spot that wasn't a Joshua tree or a cactus.
Oh, that's
so he's trying to, yeah. I looked back to see if the driver was still close. I noticed the truck was rusty and old. I looked at the driver. It was the same thing that was in the kitchen with the mouth and the teeth. He seemed to be laughing. His head wasn't going from left to right, and he was looking at me and just jerking his head forward in laughter. I ran off to some bushes, and as soon as the truck hit the road, it took off.
Ooh.
So my brother and I have talked about it. He said he saw how big the mouth was, and he told me his words, "He just doesn't have a big mouth. I mean, that thing is too big to be human." The mouth took up half of his entire face.
Oh, God.
I know.
I don't like this.
I know. There's something about a big mouth, like, that's creepy. I'm 6 foot. I was in my old home last year in the kitchen. I stood where I was standing that night. I'm 6'1". The thing had to be about 6'6". Now he's recalling it.
Yeah.
Black eyes or just holes, huge smile and gigantic teeth. I've been trying to draw this thing. Do not do that. To try to figure out what it is. Do not draw this thing, John.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. I found this site. I hope someone here can shed light on what this could be or mean. I see things in the corner of my eyes every once in a while, but not on the scale of these two encounters. Sorry for the length, please. You don't even know. But I'm trying to be descriptive.
That's
so it's
scary.
A thing with, yeah, whenever I see it, and there's something about like a mouth just slightly too big. I mean, this obviously is talking about from kind of like an ear to ear thing,
yeah.
But it's weird.
It
I don't
is.
Know what it is.
You're right.
Is it a clown thing?
A couple of the stories, no, I'm looking around. A couple of the stories that we
big
have
mouth
told that have
again.
Really scared us.
Yeah.
Have they have a big mouth.
Yeah.
Like the Pirate's Cove, the creepypasta one that
yeah.
we talked about.
And then when we went to see It, that also featured like a large mouth. Mm-hmm. So the teeth is one thing. Okay, that's freaky, sure. But the fact that the mouth takes up more space, you know, than it should,
mm-hmm.
there's just something bizarre about it to
it
me
is
and
because,
frightening.
I guess because there was a human form and then something so terribly wrong.
And animalistic about it.
Yeah.
And also,
that
I guess.
That says, hey, you know, you tricked me.
Yeah.
I thought you were human.
Yeah. And now I see it's like something's off.
Yeah.
A little bit. And then now your entire head's flipped back.
Yeah.
Because it's. It's
yeah, because
creepy.
Yeah, there's a sense of security when you're like, hey, that's a human.
Yeah.
And then it's not.
So my thing is like, I'm always, that freaks me out. And also we talked to one about, I think it was called the Dullahan. It was a creature that had a gigantic head.
Yeah.
That freaks me out too.
Yeah.
A large head freaks me out. I can't even watch Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All right. So what do you have?
Oh, God.
I can't. It's too big.
I've been sleeping. I hurt my back. And, like, I just, for my own, like, I was getting so
That's a horror story, right?
I kept the light on. I was like, because if I hear a sound in the middle of the night.
But you can't get up quickly because your back hurts.
Yeah.
That's, right? See, when you're, like, it's happened to me before when I've hurt my back. I always feel like I would try to move quickly and then I would fall on the floor.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't be able to see over the bed.
Yep.
And then one thing leads to another. Chomp.
Yes. And I was like, oh, I should just have a flashlight. That's worse.
Yes.
That's
because
scarier.
Then you can only see a small amount of whatever it is.
And
you
it have can to try run, to piece it together. It can run out of the flashlight beam.
And you can just step to the side.
Yeah.
Just slide to the right.
Yeah.
Like Bruno Mars.
Yeah. And so how scary. So I slept with the light on two nights because I was like,
yeah, why not? Why not? There's nothing wrong. I love that the evolutionarily, like even a small amount of light, we're like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Things are okay now.
And on top of that, my refrigerator makes funny noises. Like, you know, it does a lot of the, it cycles through and it does some banging.
There's some gurgling and banging. That's the worst. I don't like that. There's something in my apartment the other day. I don't know if I had the window open or something that sounded like keys jangling. Plus, I have surround sound on my stereo system. So sometimes I'm like, ah!
Yeah, that's scary. How about that spot on your floor?
I don't know what's going on. So we reported out in the field. Yeah. We reported that my dog was obsessed with the spot on the floor and was digging at it. She's no longer doing it. I don't know what happened. She's not a puppy anymore. So maybe it was a part of being a puppy.
Yeah.
Now she doesn't care.
Okay. That's good.
I don't know.
I like that.
I still keep it covered though with a slate. Yeah. So maybe that's like her nightmare. Like what if the slate gets removed? Maybe the slate is like her light, like her nightlight, right? As the slate gets removed, right, it's like, what's going on?
So without the, so there was a this little patch of floor that the dog kept scratching.
Yeah, into the rug. So I put a piece of slate over it. When the slate's there, she's fine. But if I took the slate away, she'd probably be like, it's on.
Wow. And there's nothing. There's no discoloration.
Nothing.
No smell.
There's nothing there at all. We've tried everything. I even sprayed... So you can put like white vinegar and water together and spray. Dogs apparently supposedly don't like that. She didn't care. I tried with like some hot pepper stuff. She was like, yum.
Oh, wow.
Like, so who knows? Who knows?
Interesting.
All right.
So we wanted to talk about wolves.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, do we have
No. We have like 10 minutes left. We can talk about wolves a little bit. What do you have for wolves?
Well,
I love wolves.
Well, you love wolves. I know that's like one of your spirit animals.
Yeah. Even though I have no spirit, I'll have the animal.
But why do people love wolves?
I don't know.
So I went and I found this blog, a European mapping of a wolf by European Wilderness Society.
Mapping of a wolf. Okay.
Yeah. Cause there are people for some reason are blogging about wolves, commenting about wolves.
Yeah.
They love a wolf.
Yeah. There's so many websites where you can buy like anything with a wolf on it.
Especially people in Europe, they love wolves. It started this person thinking to do some research about people's attitudes and feelings about wolves.
Mm-hmm. We're starting to think about them more favorably.
Yes, my conclusion is that wolves are not considered a bloodthirsty, cruel animal anymore, but are considered an important part of a healthy ecosystem and a national heritage.
Yes. I don't know how the heritage piece got in, but sure.
Yeah.
That makes me nervous, Europeans.
The top... reasons to love wolves.
This is like a David Letterman.
This is based on voting organized by the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks in celebration of the fact that the topic of wolf conversation will soon bring in...
The topic of wolf conversation. Okay.
Is more in the forefront. So they voted. Why do we love wolves? Number one, humans are not on their menu.
Okay. Well...
Wolves are a lot like us. We owe them.
We do owe them.
Yes, we do.
So the story that I was reading about, the reason why we were able to domesticate wolves, they say is that the weaker wolves would come into the camps and try to be like, hey, y'all want to help me out? Like, my pack is like, get the step in.
Yeah.
So we did. And then we began to, you know, evolve together to be, you know, mutually, I don't know, whatever, to work together.
Wolves are a keystone species.
Mm-hmm.
Wolves are good for the economy.
Excuse me? How are wolves good for the economy?
People are voting.
That
the people have spoken.
The people have spoken. That wolves are good for, like, the free market economy.
That's all they say. And wolves connect
Easing. Quantitative easing or whatever.
Wolves connect us to our primal selves. That's what they're saying.
I want to know more about the wolf economy.
And why we like them also.
Well, they're beautiful.
Yes. People are fixation on wolves is centered around the fact that they are among the only living animals that are truly wild.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Because when it's no longer, then it becomes a dog.
Yeah.
Right?
There's the social structure of a wolf pack is similar to that of humans. They're naturally social, actually.
Yeah.
And they live in packs. And they occasionally live alone or in pairs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's always one asshole out there. Just like it was people. There's one guy who's like, yeah, just leave him over there.
Yeah.
No one ever liked Philip anyway.
Someone was describing them. Wolves amaze me, too. Ever since sharp, slanting eyes, keen smell, graceful movements, long, poignant howls on a full moon, hunting packs, gorgeous lovers.
Well, this person next is going to be a haiku.
I know. It's
like, poignant? But, howling? He's like, I was just trying to order up a rabbit. Are you kidding me? Fine.
But you'll see that a lot of, they say a lot of guys on like Tumblr and Instagram will put like wolf pictures up. Like, I'm a wolf. I'm a lone wolf.
Does that work? Lone wolf? You don't use that kind of terminology nowadays. Yeah, that's not a positive thing.
They think that they're edgy, like muscular, ignoring your haters, striking out on your own.
I'm sorry, ignoring haters?
Yeah, and dominating everyone in sight. And that's what they feel like the wolf is. But
no, the strength of the wolf is in the pack.
Yes.
Like,
if the alpha wolf is like the good dad.
Yes.
Is like, you know, providing for the family. Oh, by the way.
He also doesn't stay up there for long sometimes.
Yeah. There is the alpha male and the alpha female.
Yes.
And they're equal.
Yes. They rule, you know, they rule the roost together.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
They both do these things. And they like to play with the kids and like play fight with the kids.
Yeah, they're teaching like the next generation what to do. They also, when we report sometimes, like the lone wolf, as he or she may be called, is going out to look for a place sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They're like going out apartment hunting.
Yeah.
They're trying to find someone, a place for their group to stay. They go out, they check it out for like a while, a season or so. Mm-hmm. And then they go back, they're like, dude, it's fine.
Yeah.
Bushwick is fine. Like no one was living there before and now it's good.
Yeah, but they treat their families with kindness, generosity, and love.
Yeah.
They do, actually. And it's not, they're not aggressive towards their own pack.
I saw some very interesting footage of when people go out to film wolves. So apparently the difference between a puppy, a wolf pup, and like a puppy, like from a dog, is that puppies take very little time to become comfortable with humans. But you have to do it when they're puppies.
Mm-hmm.
So if a young dog doesn't see humans during that developmental period, it's very difficult for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they only need to be exposed to us a little bit. Whereas wolves had a shorter period of time to become acclimatized to people, and they need to be with us like 24 hours before they will be comfortable with us. Obviously, you're not going to have the opportunity to be around a wolf pup for like 24 hours because his parents are not going to really allow that.
Right.
But I saw a documentary where these guys were filming. And the wolves that they were filming had a litter.
Yeah.
And the puppies grew up with the film crew around, and they're just like, whatever. So the wolf pack became used to the film guys to the point where they would come over to like their like tent area and try to like take a chair.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're like, whatever they had, they were just kind of like, hey, it's these guys.
Yeah.
They didn't give a shit about them because they were like, okay, they're not doing anything. So I don't know why we have such a beef with wolves.
Yeah.
I also don't raise livestock, so.
Yeah, that's,
you know what,
true.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
The wolf economy, though, whoever, I would like to hear from that person. What do wolves do for the economy? I would like to know.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10-spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin, box of wine.
Here's the thing I found: a robot apocalypse, it's upon us. This is what people are working on. So I have a big problem with tech in terms of there's a lack of diversity in it. And I'm not talking about race, class, gender. I'm talking about class, actually.
I'm talking about class.
Because you have people who are coming from a certain privileged class, and they're creating solutions for things that are not really problems for most of the world.
Right.
So this is a robot that is going to build your dream furniture. It says carpentry, while carpentry has gotten safer over the years, it's not dangerous.
It's not dangerous. You just have to handle your
equipment. Yes, you have to know how to handle your equipment. A group of engineers from MIT want to reduce the risk of lost fingers, cuts and bruises, and even further. This is not for professionals. This is for like your weekend warrior kind of person, or mm-hmm. your young person who didn't take shop and has no idea how to use a bandsaw.
Right.
Or something like that. So they have this thing called an auto saw robot. It allows non-skilled wannabe carpenters to design furniture they want in a safe, secure environment. I'm sorry, was that difficult before? I don't remember the scene in Magic Mike where he was like, I lost a thumb putting together this portfolio of crappy furniture.
Yeah, right.
I'm stripping to make this. Maybe if he had auto saw, he wouldn't have to shake it like he had to. Anyway, so you can customize a range of carpenter design templates for chairs, decks and other furniture. Why? Either make it or don't. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, either make it or don't. So they're worried about, like, you know, cutting things and putting things together, blah, blah, blah. And my favorite part, it says, our aim is to democratize furniture customization. Finally.
Yes.
We're trying to open up the realm of opportunities so users aren't bound to what they bought at IKEA. This is the problem.
Because people IKEA or nothing.
Instead, they can make what best fits their needs.
How do they? Yeah.
They don't. You don't know. You're not a furniture designer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is like when people try to, local landlords or small-time people try to do their own renovations and you end up with a fakakta room.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. It's pointed at one end. And now you're trying to find a sink to shove in there.
Yeah.
And that makes no sense either. It's absolutely ridiculous. They want people to think outside the confines of IKEA and other popular furniture products. I don't want to do that. I want IKEA to make the stuff I want. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to make, I don't want the future to be, I have to make every single thing I want.
Right, right, exactly.
Didn't you go to school for furniture stuff? You do it, dude.
I know. There are industrial engineers.
Yes.
Who are industrial designers, rather, yes. who make up this stuff.
And it's going to be better. We're going to make a chair. We're going to end up on the floor.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, if you can't put together an IKEA thing, then what makes you think you can design something?
Because you went to MIT. That's what it is. I have no idea. This is what they're working on? This is what they're working on. Anyway.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.